You all know the Bible is made of testaments old and new. You've been told it's just those two parts, or only one if you're a Jew. But what if I were to tell you there's a fresh third part out there, which was found by a hip new prophet who had a little Donny Osmond flair.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Troy Williams, the executive producer of Radio Active, a progressive talk show on KRCL-FM in Salt Lake City. He is a former Mormon missionary who the Salt Lake Tribune recently named as the gay mayor of Salt Lake City, and he recently appeared in the Errol Morris film Tabloid. He has an article at Salon.com, Romney Boosts Liberal Mormons. Welcome to Background Briefing, Troy Williams.
Hi, Ian. Hi, L.A. Good to be back.
So a group of Mormons on the weekend, I was just reading this online, staged a protest to excommunicate themselves from the church, which apparently is a difficult position to do. And it's a courageous thing for people to do because quite often they lose their jobs since the Church of the Latter-day Saints employs a lot of people. And apparently it's something that you do at your own professional risk, getting out of the church. These people apparently climbed up to the top of a mountain peak where the founder of Salt Lake City, Brigham Young, apparently built a church and looked out upon the Great Salt Lake, etc. So it was full of symbolism. So let's just deal with that for a minute before I get on to talking about your article at Salon, Troy. Why are people going to these lengths to try and make a statement to the church hierarchy?
Well, it's definitely a symbolic act of protest. Mormonism, the way that it's structured, it is a top-down, patriarchal, sometimes autocratic institution. And so voices from the grassroots, voices from the margins, don't really have a say in church governance. It's certainly not a democracy. So it's very difficult for a lot of frustrated Latter-day Saints to get their message out. So one of the ways to do that is to get the media together, go to a symbolic place. And in this case, it was Ensign Peak, where Brigham Young famously declared this is the place when he was settling the valley. And they signed a Declaration of Independence from Mormonism. And the press was right there, and they were able to really get the attention of the church. They don't like the way things are going.
And obviously the church has come into focus, and largely the reason I'm talking to you is because the presidential candidate on the Republican side, Mitt Romney, is a Mormon. He's a Mormon bishop and was a stake president, and apparently is a fairly prominent member of the church. And questions have arisen about the extent to which the Mormon Church will be an influence over this candidate if he is to become president. Jack Kennedy, of course, when there was a lot of anti-Catholic bigotry when he was running for president, made a very, very strong statement about the separation of church and state.
Right.
Mitt Romney has not done anything similar. He's done the opposite, saying that the country is too secular. So he has abandoned the political cover that Jack Kennedy gave him.
Right.
Yet at the same time, he's never really spoken about his Mormon faith and how important it is to him.
That's correct. And in fact, I actually wish that Romney's faith would influence him more. He's getting so friendly with the money changers at the temple. Instead of kicking over the tables, though, he's sitting down with them and saying, how can I make life easier for you? How can I increase your profits while the rest of America struggles? And I think Romney, like so many of the so-called Christian GOP, they've co-opted the message of Jesus, grossly perverted it for their own agenda of corporate welfare, privatization, tax cuts for the wealthy, all the things that would be anathema to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's who Romney is.
Well, it's, I guess, some embarrassment to him that one of his big fundraisers, who was the co-chair of a big fundraising gala, was the representative here in the United States of Barclays Bank.
That's right.
And I did an interview yesterday with an economist in London about the egregious behavior of Barclays Bank in terms of this Robin Hood in reverse, how they, along in complicity with traders, were rigging the interest rates on muni bonds, ripping off towns and cities and pension funds in order for bankers and traders to make huge bonuses. So it's not difficult, I think, to make a connection between Mitt Romney and the money changers. But why do you think people in this country would vote for him? And the polls indicate that it's going to be very tight.
I think a lot of Republicans, even folks who are very suspicious of Mormonism, are going to hold their nose and vote otherwise, because it's better than the black guy, right? The black Kenyan Muslim who's not a Christian will vote for the Mormon who's not a Christian. I think that the right wing is in just a real pickle right now about what they're going to do. But I think at the end of the day, they will vote against their best interest, and Republicans will. Poor, working-class Republicans will vote against their best interest and against what their best wishes, and they'll vote for Romney.
So we also have here in Hollywood, Troy, it may seem a lot like a bit of a tangent here, a lot of the entertainment press are in a Twitter about Katie Holmes splitting from Tom Cruise, and then who of all people should throw their weight into the Twitterati conniptions over this is Rupert Murdoch, the press mogul, who gratuitously mentioned that Tom Cruise is very high up in the Scientology hierarchy. He's maybe number two or number three, and this, of course, has long time been rumored that he's had a gay relationship with David Miscavige, the head of the church. And I think that's probably what Rupert Murdoch was hinting at to justify this tabloid question, Troy. There is a strange kind of connection, is there not, between Scientology and Mormonism, the extent to which Scientology was written by a science fiction writer. It's L. Ron Hubbard. And my understanding is that the Book of Mormon, many historians say it was plagiarized from Solomon Spaulding's book about Romans arriving in pre-Columbian America.
That's View of the Hebrews, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that he, Solomon Spaulding, of course, was a 19th century science fiction writer. So,
right. Well, a lot of people have referred to the Book of Mormon as kind of Bible fan fiction, in a way, which I think is probably pretty accurate. And yet you can't deny the power of a story. The historicity of the Book of Mormon aside, which we know isn't, you know, the Book of Mormon, though it pretends to be a history of ancient America, we know it's a 19th century document. And yet it has this power of to actually really infuse a people to actually bear great hardship to actually cross the plains back in the early 1840s. And so it is this powerful, kind of creates this powerful meta-narrative that actually binds the people together. Mormons, you know, we can make fun of Mormons all you want over, you know, the ways that they treat gays and women, et cetera, but they really do know how to cultivate a real deep sense of family, a real deep sense of community. And when you leave that, as these people have who signed this Declaration of Independence from Mormonism, there's a great social cost to it. And it is painful for the people who exit.
And isn't there a professional cost as well?
There are general authorities who are actually, you know, paid to lead the church, yes.
So what would
I'm sorry, you asked me that are professional costs, right?
Yeah. In other words, my understanding is that it's not good for you professionally to leave the LDS Church.
It depends where you're at. You know, Salt Lake City is a really progressive town that really does not have a lot of Mormon influence. We have always elected progressive mayors. We haven't elected a Mormon or a Republican in over 30 years to be mayor of Salt Lake City. So if you're actually in Salt Lake, you're probably okay. But if you're in these pockets like Provo, Utah, where, you know, it's like 90% LDS, it can be devastating to your professional career to leave the church. Absolutely.
So, you know, just not to belabor the Scientology Mormon connections, I mean, there was a prominent Hollywood screenwriter, director, Paul Haggis. There was a profile on him in New Yorker He quit the Scientology because they supported Prop 8, which was largely supported by the Mormon Church, was it not, here in California?
Organized and funded from Salt Lake City, Utah. That was, you know, sadly, that was our gift to you in California, yeah.
Again, I'm speaking with Troy Williams, the executive producer of Radioactive, a progressive talk show on KRCL-FM in Salt Lake City, and he's a former Mormon missionary who was the Salt Lake, who the Salt Lake Tribune recently named the gay mayor of Salt Lake City. He also appeared in Errol Morris's film Tabloid, and he has an article at Salon.com, Romney Boosts Liberal Mormons. So let's talk about the last gasp of liberalism, if you will, in terms of the Mormon Church's hostility towards gays, and get back to how much it's changing.
Yeah, 1993, one of the members of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles, Boyd K. Packer, declared that there were three great enemies to the Mormon Church. One was the feminists, second were intellectuals or scholars, and the third was the homosexual movement. And it's been really fascinating to watch this Mormon moment, as it's being called, as the media is really sort of exploring all the strange facets of Mormonism, and these voices have been emerging. And they are emerging within the church. And right now, because of the high profile of Romney running, these voices are able to sort of flourish in a way they haven't been able to do traditionally because of fear of excommunication. So members are stepping out and verbally, vocally saying, I support the LGBT community. I'm not okay with what happened with Proposition 8. And what we saw, me and one of your guys, Hollywood screenwriter Dustin Lance Black, in our Pride Parade at the beginning of June, we marched at the very front of the parade with 300 active Mormons called Mormons Building Bridges. And they were dressed in their Sunday clothes, and they stepped out. Now, this is unprecedented for active Latter-day Saints to step out and say, hey, we love you. We love you for who you are, not in spite of who you are. And this prompted marches in gay pride parades of Mormons all around the country, from Seattle to New York to Washington, D.C., Cincinnati, Minneapolis. Mormons were coming out to, I think, in a way, in a kind of penance, really, I think, because they have been ashamed and embarrassed by how the gay community has been treated by their church. And they're saying, we love you, and we're taking a stand, and we're marching with you. And that is really exciting, and it's unprecedented.
Well, my daughter is a millennial, and she has a lot of young Mormon friends who are extremely liberal and absolutely want no part of anti-homosexual prejudice. They're completely over that, and I imagine that's a growing influence within the LDS Church.
Yeah, you know, in fact, just recently, a retired church historian and a general authority, Marlon Jensen, he was meeting with a group of LDS college students, and he publicly acknowledged that young people are leaving the church in droves. They're leaving because, you know, women leave because there's no parity with men in the ecclesiastical structure. They're leaving over Prop 8 and the treatment of gays. They're leaving because the church has hidden their history from them. A lot of Mormons grow up never knowing that Joseph Smith was a polygamist, that he had multiple wives, some teenage girls under the age of 16, 14.
Wasn't he shot by cuckolded husbands?
No, he was shot by an angry mob, though there were other Mormon authorities in the day who were shot by husbands who could, because they had, like Parley P. Pratt had taken the wife of someone, and he came after him and shot him. So, but this history has been hidden from them. I mean, sometimes the first time that some Mormons knew that Joseph Smith translated the Book of Mormon with magic stones and a hat, the first time they saw that was in a South Park cartoon. And so when young Mormons see this history that's been hidden from them in Sunday school and in their seminary classes, it's a deep sense of betrayal. They get angry, and they walk. They leave in droves. And the church recognizes this, and I think that there are people within who are working desperately to change the culture within the church. Can they do it fast enough? I don't know. But I do want to give props to the LDS Church in one area. they have reached out to the gay community, the leadership of the gay community. They have entered into dialogue with us. That's me, Dustin Lance Black, several other local leaders here in Utah, and saying, how can we make things better? How can we improve? How can we find common ground? And we're now in dialogue with them, and on many levels, not marriage, but on many levels, they are receptive to the conversation. So there is some reason to have hope.
Well, Troy Williams, again, executive producer of Radioactive, a progressive talk show on KRCL-FM in Salt Lake City, and a former Mormon missionary who the Salt Lake Tribune recently named the gay mayor of Salt Lake City. He has an article at Salon.com, Romney Boosts Liberal Mormons. So we've seen what the backlash in Mormonism is to Romney, to the kind of conservative corporatist candidate for president. Again, I wish the press were able to engage Mitt Romney in more of a discussion about his religion, which he clearly values, and get more of a sense of it, because he's basically keeps ducking that. And do you think that people like you are going to force Romney into talking more about his religion, and particularly the struggle within his religion from the liberal minority like you and others? That, you know, I mean, the last time I talked to you, you had an article about how the roots of Mormonism were quite socialist.
Right. You can go through Mormon history and really, you know, the religiously pious can pull from whatever elements they want to justify their own dogma and doctrine. But when I read the Book of Mormon, I see a text, whether Joseph Smith made it up or not, that's aside the point. But what the actual content of the text says is that we have a commitment to the poor and the needy first. The Book of Mormon, a third of the Book of Mormon deals with war and the doctrine of just war. And I'll tell you what, Mitt Romney is surrounding himself with people from the Project for a New American Century, the neocons like Robert Kagan and John Bolton, and people who believe in the doctrine of preemptive war and Pax Americana, building a full-spectrum military dominance around the globe. The Book of Mormon clearly teaches that that is anathema to the will of God. Preemptive war, aggressive war, is forbidden by God's people in the Book of Mormon. So if Romney were really a man of faith and really inspired and motivated by his sacred text, which he says he is, he wouldn't be surrounding himself with the neocons. Absolutely not.
Well, just in closing then, Troy Williams, do you think you're going to smoke Romney out? Do you think there's a way to engage him in this dialogue?
I hope more people like you, more journalists, will really ask the hard questions. He is a master of evasion and a master of saying whatever he needs to say, and I'm really a master at appealing to the lowest common denominator of the Republican Party. So am I hopeful about that? No. But what I would like to see is I'd like to see Mormons, rank and file Latter-day Saints, standing up in their congregations, in their Sunday schools, and saying, we support and love the LGBT community. We want equal parity with women in our church. We want a commitment to the poor. And actually, we want you to actually hold true to the core gospel of Jesus Christ. And if Mormons did that, they would be a powerful force for good in this world.
And in terms of Romney being described as the liar in chief, which I spoke to an analyst who wrote an article in, I think, in Foreign Policy about that. I also had John Dean of the Watergate on, former Republican, a couple of days ago on the Supreme Court decision. And he just, without any prompting from me, mentioned that he just can't stand the fact that Romney lies all the time.
Yeah. Now, that tells you he's not committed to his faith. Thou shalt not lie. Mormons do believe in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And he fails every time.
Well, Troy Williams, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Great, Ian. Thank you so much.
Again, I've been speaking with Troy Williams, who's the executive producer of Radioactive, a progressive talk show on KRCL-FM in Salt Lake City. He's a former Mormon missionary who the Salt Lake Tribune recently named the gay mayor of Salt Lake City. He's also appeared in the Errol Morris film Tabloid and has an article at Salon.com, Romney Boosts Liberal Mormons. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Brooke Peterson. This program is available for podcast. podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Brooke Peterson. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.